listed. How would you translate chazaka for our purposes? Very fancy operation. How would you translate chazaka going into the discussion? Yeah.
I guess it's status.
Okay.
Relative to
Arsugya? Yeah, relative to
Arsugya. Status.
Right, it's not a really fair question to say generally, because we just said it can mean a million things. But, okay. So, a status, but it's something about a status. Right, so, I have to say a little bit more than that. So, it affects a status, but what is a chazaka doing? Yeah?
It's either... with
buyer or you're getting two lumbdas. We'll get to that, but you're jumping right into the lumbdas just in terms of trying to understand what the concept means in a more superficial level, maybe.
It's like establishing the way things are.
Okay, so precedent is good.
Precedent.
The way things go, status quo. Okay, that was one word that helps. Let's see, there's a quid for that. Quid for that quo. I've heard there was no quid pro quo, but in any event, so to work with some of these terms, what we seem to work with here is that things are a certain way, and how can we learn from that? Right? The fact that things have been a certain way, what relevance does that have to us? Does that allow us to proceed based on that presumption or not? So a presumption that the status quo ante, is that another word, right? The status quo that it was. So are we allowed to work off the presumption? I think presumption will be part of our definition here, that it continues. Or allowed may not be the right word, because sometimes we're saying it's going to get us in trouble, that we should be obligated to look at the status quo ante and work off that premise. So there's a lot to figure out about how a chazaka works and when it works. And already on this amud, we'll see a couple of points of entry into that question. So in what ways does this Gemara in the bottom of Tesamad Aleph, in which ways does it bring up the issue of chazaka? What questions that are relevant to defining chazaka come up here? Yeah?
I guess, how do we look at the animal before reshefted and then after reshefted in terms of whether or not we've done the nikah?
Okay.
Or not.
All right, so that's the first point, right? So after talking about the top of the Amud, talking about how you have to know the halachas and the like, so the Gemara tells us the din that you have to check to make sure things were done right. That there's an obligation to inspect the siman. Parenthetically, it's an interesting question how to look at this obligation. Is this part of the general mitzvah to make sure that the food is kosher? The Torah tells us in the context of live animals, knowing whether they're kosher or not, that there's a mitzvah of Havdalah, not to be confused with Motzi Shabbos, but there's a mitzvah to distinguish between the kosher animals and the non-kosher animals by checking them out. And there's what to discuss about that question, about that concept. Is that something which is just a general halachic principle that you have to make sure you're doing the right thing and not doing the wrong thing? And there's certain obligations that come along with that? Or is that something specific to kashrus? And maybe it connects to what we were talking about recently, about the special role that Macholos Asuras has, that we have to have a particular zahiris to be careful not to ingest non-kosher food. So there may be a connection between these general obligations of Havdalah. I saw that our friend Eliav Silverman in his Sefer Meshev Nefesh has a short reference to that question. But in any event, the Gemara says that there's an obligation to check the simanim after the shechita. So the question is, what happens if you don't? What happens if you don't check? So here there is a machlokus in the Gemara, in the middle of Amud, Lo Badak Mai, Rabbi Lezer ben Antigonus Mishum, Rabbi Lezer ben Yanai, Omar, Trefa, Basura Bachila. That it is considered to be a treifa, and it is prohibited to eat. And so this is the more makel possibility, essentially, right? Because the halachas are more limited for a treifa than for an avela. Even though, why would you call it a treifa? What makes it a treifa?
You can't assume it was shepherded.
Okay, so let's say it died on its own, it wouldn't be a treifa. Right, let's say somebody shot it, so it wouldn't be a treifa. So masnisa tana nevela. So therefore, here we have another possibility that no, not a treifa, it's a nevela. Right, so if you know that you have a dead animal in front of you, and you don't know that the shechita was done properly, so then let's treat it as nevela, and therefore matamba masa. So therefore, it should be subject to additional halachos of tumah. So, b'may kamiflagi. So, what is this machlokas about? So, Gemara says that maybe the machlokas is about Rav Huna's issue. Amar behema bechaya bechezkas iser omedes ad shiodei locha b'man nishchata. That the behema, when it's alive, it is considered to be bechezkas iser, and that chazaka continues to be the guiding principle until we find out how it was shechted. If you clarify that it was shechted properly, so then we can undo that chazaka. Then we can do away with that presumption of iser. But until then, we have to assume that that's what we know. Until we can prove that the shechita was done effectively. If it was shechted, we know that it was shechted properly, then harehi b'chezkes heter. So then we can work with it as a chezkes heter. Ad shiodei lecha b'mat nitrafa, until we know what would have made it into a treifa. So maybe that position is subject to machlokas here. So the hashda, skip a line. So mar saver b'chezkes iser kaima v'hashda meisahi. Omar saver b'chezkes iser amrinan b'chezkes tumah lo amrinan. That maybe the issue is whether we have a chazaka both for the iser and for the tumah. So there are a couple of issues that are debated about this, and yeah, let's try to get these issues on the table, and we'll probably have to continue the next time to get into some of the details about them. So what are some of the issues that are debatable here? At least two issues that the Rishonim debate around this discussion. So one issue is this Chezkas Isser that was there. So what's the Isser that we're talking about? What Isser is there a Chazaka from? So what does Rashi say? It's an Isser of Eiver Menachai, exactly. Right, so the Isser of Eiver Menachai, that's what gives it the status of prohibited, that puts the burden of proof on us to show that it's mutter. And what does Tosfos and Beis say? Doesn't work, says Tosfos and Beis. Right? Why should we say that? We know that it's not an Eiver Menachai anymore. And we know that it's dead. So the Isser Eiver Menachai shouldn't apply. So says Tosfos, it's something else that we can apply here, the Isser Eino Zvucha, right, which goes back again to day one. It's the opinion of Tosfos in a few places that the impact of the obligation of Shechita is to create an Isser Lav, is to create a Lav Abam Michal Aseh, of a prohibition of Eino Zvucha. So that was always there. The living animal is considered to be Eino Zvucha also. And therefore, all we know so far is that it's Eino Zvucha, and we can't call it Zvucha, we can't call it Shechted, until we confirm that it was Shechted properly. So what are Rashi and Tosfos arguing about here? I'm sorry? So not necessarily. And Tosfos writes that they don't care about that issue, actually, because Eino Zvucha shouldn't be affected by that. So the Rashba explains. You get to see the Rashba. I know there's a few Rashbas to look at here. But the Rashba says what Rashi is entering into is a subject of a general machlokas about, is there a concept of machzikin me'isser le'isser? That if you have two different yisurim coming one after the other, so does the chazaka carry over? So if this animal was b'chezkis isser before, because of Avram and Achai, so now we're not concerned about Avram and Achai, we're concerned about Nevela. So how do we look at the Isser Nevela? How do we look at this current situation? Do we say that it's Bechezkes Asr? Because last week when it was alive, it was Asr? Or do we say that no, the fact that it was Asr last week, that's not relevant. That if you're only interested in the Isser Avram and Achai, that's a different Isser. And we have to start the discussion over again. Maybe we should say that if you want to know if it's a Nevela or not, we have no way of knowing whether it's a Nevela or not. And there's no presumption of it being a Nevela because we don't know anything about its Shechita status. So this is an issue, essentially, do you say Machzikin Me'isser Le'isser, that the different Isser that was relevant creates a Chazaka that's still in play? Or as you say, no, that you can't transfer a chazaka from one isser to the other. It's a different issue. The chazaka has to be renewed. So essentially, this is a machlokes with many different permutations. And just without getting into names yet, but just to lay them out. So how would the issue apply to a trefa? Right, the Gemara distinguishes that the presumption of an issue of it being Asr goes to the question of whether it is properly shechted or not. So that's not about its trefa status. But what if you have a suffix that comes up about whether it's trefa? Can you bring in a chazak on that point? So maybe yes. Maybe it's a cheskes heter, especially if it's an animal that's been alive for more than a year, so you know it wasn't born a trefa. So then maybe you have a positive chazaka. Do you have a negative chazaka? You say machzikin me'isser le'isser, even according to Rashi and the Rashba, or Rashi with the Rashba, right? Rashi's opinion apparently is that you do carry over a chazaka from one isser to the other, as the Rashba understands it. So we'll take the Isser of Avram and Achai and use that to establish a chazaka for the Isser of Nevela. Would you use that for the Isser of Treifa also? So there are probably three opinions on this topic among Rishonim and among later Poskim. So some say that maybe the reason you're machzik me'isser le'isser here, if that's indeed the case, and the Rashba himself in Yevamos phrases it this way, it's not that we always say. Well, let's ask the question like this: do you always say that you should be machzik me'isser le'isser? Any two isurim will carry over the chazaka, or is there something that groups Avram and Achai and Nevela together in a way that Treifa is not part of the same group? What would you think? Is there a way to do that, a way to distinguish? Put Avram and Achai and Nevela in one column and put Treifa in another column? Yeah?
That's really more natural.
Okay. So what do you want to do with that?
They're both like the stam. Assumption
of
what's actually
be. Okay, that's I think the second one actually helps. That Stam part helps a little more. What do you want to do with that? Maybe Stam Jaron wants to add something.
I was going to say that.
It's your new nickname, yeah?
Stam Jaron.
Because he's talking about Stam. You're going to explain what he means by Stam. You know, like we add a Yud, we add a Hey, you just got a T.
I was going to offer a different
part. Okay, but you don't want to try that because. Okay, well, let's see where you're coming from. Maybe we can bring it together. Then we'll put the T in. Yeah.
Like Nevela and Avram and Chai are things that are, I guess, guess can happen. Actually, no, I think I was just answering
that. Well,
I was going to say that Nevela and Nevi are things that happen without Shlita happening, but Trefa can still exist even with the Shlita happening.
Okay, so you're saying, that's an interesting point, you're saying that the quality of the Shlita is just irrelevant to the Trefa issue. So therefore, maybe for that reason, we should put it in a different category. Okay, I think we can work with both those things, though, and say, essentially, that the relevance of Shchita here, and especially looking at it from the Chazaka kind of perspective, just adding a little bit to the way he says it, but I think it's helpful, is that a Chazaka is basically a default position, and saying the burden of proof is on the other side. So here, what Nevela and Avraham and Achai have in common is that they are both realities that will exist unless something else intervenes, or unless a Shechita comes in and changes the facts on the ground. Which is why I thought Meir's reference to Stam is something to work with, that if you leave nature alone, you're going to have either an Avraham and Achai or a Nevela. But Shechita is essentially a chiddush. Shechita is being introduced into the picture and causing something new. So therefore, the default is that Shechita isn't there, and the chiddush would be if Shechita is there. So the burden of proof is to show that there's been a Shechita. So therefore, it's not a general philosophy of machzikim me'isr le'isr. You can just take a chazaka and move it around to whatever is today's flavor of prohibition. But it's that there is the tzad hashaveh. Even if you say that Nevela and Isser and Avraham and Achai are two different Isurim, and not like the Tosfos and Beitza that feels we have to group them under one Isser in order for there to be a Chazaka here, even if they're two different Isurim, what they have in common is that they both reflect the reality until Shlita comes in and changes the picture. So if you want to say that Shechita has changed the picture, I need you to prove to me that a good Shechita has happened. But Trefa is not any kind of a natural default. And therefore, we have no reason to extend the Chazaka to Trefa. And it's not relevant to whether the Shechita was done or not. That's one position that you find in the Rishon. Right, so essentially, again, just to keep track of things, so we have the Rashba reading Rashi over here is saying Machzikim me'isr le'isr. But is that absolute? Maybe not. Maybe it's just this kind of Isurim we can share a Chazaka, but another Isur like Trefa would not necessarily share the Chazaka. Now others, you find in some of the Svarim, that they distinguish differently. That it's basically a chronological issue. That if the possible trefa that you're looking at comes from when the animal was still alive, so then it all remains with the original chazaka. And that shaila of trefa is viewed through the lens of the chazaka too. But if the shaila came up afterwards, after it was establishes Shechted. So then the status doesn't carry over now to the Trefa question. And there are still others who don't distinguish at all and say, yeah, you could be Machzik, Me'isr, Le'isr across all of these Isurim. So basically all of those are opinions are within the premise that Machzikim, Me'isr, Le'isr. That you can carry over one Isser to another, maybe always, or maybe only if they all were before the point of Shechita, or maybe only if they're all related to the issue of Shechita, such as Nevela, Avraham, and Achai. But then you have others who maintain that no, the whole thing isn't true. Eimachzikim me'isr le'isr. And if it's not the same Isser, then it's not relevant. Which may be the unspoken position of Tosfos and Beitza. doesn't actually invoke that issue, but that seems to be the underlying assumption. So there is what to say about this machlokes in terms of understanding it. I will come back probably next time with a little bit more of an in-depth discussion about it, but just on the surface, is there anything that you could suggest, let's say, just the machlokes, whether machzikim yisr l'isr. So is there anything you think might be relevant to try to understand that machlokes? Why would you say one way? Why would you say another way? So Rav Nosson Gestetner, a friend from his comments to Chulin in the Sefer Nosson Pirio, so he thought maybe, you have to work with this a little more, but he thought maybe the question is, how do we look at the Yisurim of the Torah in general? Which is a topic we talked about also in the concept of the Hempton Shul Tzaddikim, where he mentioned that there's a general question, are the Yisurim of the Torah looked at as fundamentally Yisurim and the Chavtza, that maybe in contrast to Yisurim Durabanan, the Isur is something that defines the item inherently? Or do we look at them as instructions to the individuals as to how to relate to things, but it's not inherent in the object, what you would call an Isser Gavra? And why is that relevant? Because he suggests that if you say that the whole concept here is an Isser Gavra, you're not allowed to eat this animal, so then maybe there's room to say it doesn't matter why you're not allowed to eat this animal. All we know is last time we checked, you weren't allowed to eat this animal. So if we're going to tell you you are allowed to eat this animal, so then you have to prove that that's indeed acceptable. Now we just look at the gavra, we just look at the individual without focusing on why he's not allowed to do this. But if we look at the iser in the object itself, so then maybe we have to be more discerning and say, why is this animal attached to an Isser? If the Isser that we're worried about today is not the Isser that gives us the Chazaka, so then maybe it's not relevant. Maybe the status on this animal is not affected by a different status that prohibited it yesterday. I think there's more to say about that. I think the way he floats it is just a kind of initial thought, and we'll come back to that. There's an Ode Yontif about this, and there's a Shmeis about this, so we'll say more about this. The Shmeis, by the way, should be familiar, so we'll be evoking him many times once we get into Chazaka and Rov. So the Shev Shmeis, the full name, so the Shev Shmeis is a sefer written by the author of the Ketos HaChoshen, and we know that the Ketos HaChoshen and the Nesivis were big debating partners. They argued on an extraordinary number of things. But the Nesivis was much more prolific than the Ktos. The Nesivis wrote many, many svarim. And the Ktos is known for three svarim. It's known for his commentary on the Choshen Mishpat, it's the Ktos HaChoshen, which essentially in some ways is his most firm, grounded work, because that's his adult work on Choshen Mishpat, and the Sefer on Evna Ezer is called Avne Miluim. The Avne Miluim was published, I believe, after he passed away. It was written by son-in-law. So it's a little slightly different standard than the Ktos on Choshen Mishpat. And then going back the other direction, so you have the Shev Shmeisa. So the Shev Shmeisa was apparently written when he was a teenager. When he's 17 years old, that's what they say. In many yeshivas, they tell the guys that if he wrote it when he was 17, you could at least read it when you're 17, you could at least be familiar with it. Must have been, just to make you feel a little better, that he must have revised it later, because if I remember correctly, I think he quotes his son in the Shev Shmeisa. So his son must have really been an Eloi, because if he was 17 and he's quoting a son somehow, so then that's even more impressive. So I think it was revised also later, but in any event, so he was apparently young, at least when he wrote the first draft. And it's not just, okay, he wrote a sefer at the age, but it's he discusses all of the hardest abstract concepts. So it's about things like Rov and Chazaka and Sfeikos and Eidus, topics like that. So basically, some of the most fundamental abstract thinking that you find in Shas is addressed in the Sheh Shmaisa. So he's a very basic text as far, I mean, basic just in terms of first address on a lot of these issues. So Sheh Shmaisa means seven essays. He's got seven different sections in the Sheh Shmaisa. But over the course of the next 7 days or so, you'll hear repeated references to the Shmaisa, because this is his territory. You talk about Chazakas and you talk about Rov. Also, if someday you become a big-time Rosh Hashiva, so yesterday we were talking about you need to not be a Shochet, well, you need to be a Talmud Chacham. So now if you become a big-time Rosh Hashiva, so it's a rite of passage that you have to publish your own Sheh Shmaisa with your Haris on it. Because everybody who's anybody has a Shmaisa with their Haris. So there's you can get the Stipler Shmaisa, you can get the Shlomo Zalman Shmaisa, you can get Moshe Sternbuch Shmaisa. There's a lot of different Sheh Shmaisas out there in the market. And you could definitely get a big education from just reading a lot of the comments on the Shmaisa. Of course, there are versions that collect all the comments on the Shmaisa. This is very Leibedik stuff. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, just to finish this instruction point, he wrote very extensively on the writings of the author of the Ksos, and he wrote many volumes. So he has a 5-volume sefer on the Ksos called Tabas HaChoshen, and he has a 5-volume sefer on the Avni Miluim called the Milui Oven. And he has a multi-volume version on the Sefer on the Sheh Shmaisa. I don't remember whether it's 7, if it's 1 for each one, or it's also 5 volumes. It's called the Agra de Shmaisa. So there's a lot written about these topics. So okay, keep your ears perked for the Shmaisa references. Hi.
Don't we say Mushra the Omei Mar Sinai?
For what purpose?
Meaning, it sounds like a Megadra.
Oh, you're saying that the whole, so that's, okay, that, you have to figure out where you're coming from on that. Right, so what Meir's referring to is, it's an interesting question, this is invoked in the discussion in general, that the Gemara in the first half of Nedarim distinguishes between a Neder and a Shvua, and seems to invoke the terms Yisuri Heftza and Yisuri Gavra. So remember Rabbi Yitzchak Kohn saying, before the Briskers were ever born, the only place in Shas and the Beis in Nedarim is where these terms come up, because the Gemara distinguishes between a neder, which is object-based, that a person says, I'm not going to touch this object, or I'm not going to let you touch this object, or I'm going to dedicate this object to the Beis HaMikdash. So Ron explains over there, there's two different types. But in any event, so a object is the subject of a neder. So we say that a neder is an Isser Chafsa in that situation. While the Gemara contrasts that with a Shvua. A Shvua is a person says, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this, positive or negative. So that's called, over there, an Isser Gavra. So, or it refers to the Gavra. So what Meir is saying is that when we talk about the whole content of the Torah, so we say, Mushpa v'Oymed Mehar Sinai, that you are considered to be subject to a Shvua by our experience at Har Sinai, if you'll remember seeing each other there. So, therefore, that has nafkaminas. The Gemara says that when it comes to a Shvua, we say that a Shvua cannot take effect on top of another Shvua. So if somebody takes a Shvua that affects the content of the Torah, either positively or negatively, either to support the Torah or to go against the Torah, you take a Shvua that you'll eat matzah on Pesach, or you take a Shvua that you'll eat chametz on Pesach, either good or bad. Or you'll take a shvua that you won't eat chametz on Pesach. You'll take a shvua that you won't eat matzah on Pesach, either good or bad, negatively. Either way, it doesn't take effect. Ein shvua chalal shvua, and a neder is different. Somebody takes a neder so that even if it contradicts the Torah, the neder would still take effect, and then you're in trouble. So Meir is saying is that why don't we say that's a raya that the mitzvahs of the Torah are all addressed to the individual and do not necessarily have an independent status. So there's a lot to say about this, a big machlokus in general. So that's what he brings up, Rav Kishtetner, that maybe that's the issue here. Do we just look at how you are prohibited to eat this animal, and therefore you are becheskes iser until we can meet the burden of proof? or to say, no, the Isser is attached to the animal, and if it's a different Isser, then it's a different Chazaka, and it's not going to be relevant to bring it in that way. Okay, so we'll say more about that, but just wanted to put that on the table. But there's another issue here, just before we're running out of time, that the Gemara says something very unusual here. Right, so we mentioned that we saw this machlokas about if you say that it's usser, so essentially how usser is it? Right, and the more logical possibility, we would say, is the more machmir position, right? That should be treated like an avela. If you say that we don't know what the story is, we don't know if the shechita was good or not, so if there's no shechita, so does that make it a treifa? Makes it a nevela. Right? So therefore, the more machmir position that it's aser be maga, or that's metamiv maga rather, metamiv maso, that should be the more logical position. So how do you explain the first position that's presented here, that it's a treifa, that it's aser b'achila, but it's not metame? Why should it be a treifa? How do you explain that? So Tosfos, the short Tosfos here, Vasura Vachila, Tosfos basically explains it and says that really it's not a logical position, but it's the subject of rabbinic legislation. That Mishum the Rov Pamim Sheikhet Shapir. That really there's a Rov here. Okay, so now we're getting into very interesting territory. Because maybe this chazaka, the chazaka that it was not shechted, has some competition. It has a rov. That, why don't we say that most people who shecht properly? And if so, so now things are getting interesting. It's a fight between a rov and a chazaka. So face-offs between roves and chazakas is going to be, again, an issue that we'll get to over the next few dapim. But apparently that's on the table here. That maybe what we have here is a rove that should say the animal is kosher. So therefore, what wins? So according to the next words in Tosus, really, what wins? The rove wins. V'sharya midaraisa. So, min ha-Torah, the din is this animal is acceptable. You have an animal that was shechted. You have two things to look at, that until now it was not shechted, so you have a chazaka, but you also have the reality that most shechitas are good, so you have a rov. So what wins? The rov. Now, for some reason, Tosfos doesn't explain, we'll have to fill this in, for some reason we're not happy with that. And that midrabanan, we're not going to stay comfortable with that. So, because we're not comfortable with that, so we end up prohibiting it midrabanan. Again, we'll have to answer that question why. But what's the scope of the drabanan? Says Tosfos, lohechmiru la'asosu nevela. That we didn't go so far as to asur it in a broader sense. So, Chazal said, don't eat it. We're not comfortable relying on this rove, but they didn't actually make it into a nevela, because it's not a nevela, because midin Torah was shechted, and therefore they're limited in its impact. Now this seems to be a machlokas rishonim, because it sounds like from the Rambam that it's a straight din daraisa. So if it's a din daraisa, so then why should it be that it's split? That, why don't we say it's an avela then? How could it be a din daraisa that this animal is treated like a treifa only? Only to aser it in eating and not to give it a status of tumma. It's difficult, right? So what could the Rambam's view be? So, here we'll go once again to Rav Nosson Gestetner and say it for Nosson Imperial. Again, this is just the first stage of addressing this, that maybe this has to do with how we understand a chazaka. And this is something that Maury's been plotting to talk about. So we can't end today without quickly referencing this. That, but we discussed a little bit when we talked about the Rov Mitzri and Eitzel Shchita Mumchen Hain, that a chazaka, just to get a taste of it now, a chazaka could be looked at in a number of ways. But just to simplify it, it could be looked at as a birur, or it could be looked at as a chazaka. I'm sorry, as a hanhaga. Did you see it as a birur or as a hanhaga? What's the difference? So a birur means you are trying to clarify the facts. That we really think that this method is bringing us closer to the actual truth. And that our best way of figuring out the reality is based on this chazaka. Or you could say that no, there's no such assumption. That there's no reason to say that the chazaka is telling you the absolute truth. There's all kinds of other things that could impact it. And you have no way of knowing that just because it was true yesterday, it's true today. So maybe a chazaka, or at least some chazakos, are not a birur, but are a hanhaga. Meaning that you have the right to work off a certain, or you have maybe the obligation, or the right, depending on what we're talking about, to behave a certain way. But it doesn't have to actually match up with the facts. So here, maybe that's the Rambam's position, that a chazaka is not telling you we know this is true. It's saying that this is how you have to behave. So in the case of this animal, we don't know whether it was shechted properly. Maybe it was shechted 100%. But the chazaka that you couldn't eat it until we can undo that chazaka has to still guide your behavior. So what was the previous behavior? It was an Isser Achila. There was no Tumah before it was shechted. So we don't have any chazaka on the Tumah. We have a chazaka on the eating. Okay, so you have to continue this prohibition of not eating it, this practice of not eating it. It doesn't make sense to say that it has the din of a treifa, because you know it was shechted, or it was killed some way, I should say it that way. We have no reason to think it's a treifa. Our only question is, was it shechted properly or not? So either it was shechted properly and it's kosher, or it wasn't shechted and it's an nevela. There's no logic that makes it a treifa. But he's saying maybe that's, in a chanami, the case, that we don't care whether it makes sense to call it a treifa or not. This is not a birur. This is about how you behave. And how you behave is that you continue the previous behavior. The previous behavior is you don't eat it. So that's the story, and it doesn't necessarily bring with it tumah. Now, what Sam has been waiting all morning to find out is, what does this have to do with the Rambam and Hilchos Yesod HaTorah? Now, do you have any further clarity? So what does he talk about? Unless it was a typo. So did he talk about a Navi?
No, I was looking at Parakain Al-Khazai.
Could be. All right, so that's there to confuse
Yeah.
Okay, so that's there to confuse you further, right? That would be a typo then. Okay, but you could have been confused without that, because what is Hilchos Yesod HaTorah? I have to check if I typed it wrong, or maybe you just your computer received it wrong. You know, it sometimes happens. So I'll have to check. But we're basically, so you know what? So we're out of time anyway. So we're Bechezkas. If we just keep our Chazaka, we wouldn't have to stop for anything. But so we'll have to address that issue later. What does the Rambam and Hilchos Yesod HaTorah have relevance to this? So just very quickly, because we have to have mincha, but basically we brought up the question of ikur, what the definition is, whether also it impacts the animal to make it a treif or not, and then we got into questions of chazaka. On our daf, a number of issues of chazaka present themselves, the issue of whether we say machzikim yisal yisr and when, and why would you say it one way or another, we got to fill in that, and the issue of what a chazaka does, whether it's a birur or an haga, which may be affecting the question of whether it makes sense at all to treat this animal, l'chumra, as a treifa, which doesn't have a logical scenario that should make it that, or do we have to say, no, we have to have the more logical possibilities on the table only, and therefore say either it's kosher, and it was shechted properly, or if you're going to tell me I can't assume that, then I have to treat it as an avela with all of the more stringent implications. Okay, so that's the framework. So we're going to, God willing, fill in the details of it next time, but tomorrow is Parshas Vayera, one of the more jam-packed Parshas in the Torah, and the first Aliyah.